Blog Talk Radio.
All his pony talk is gonna be put on blast October 6th.
Do you have a round in mind?
As long as it takes. I believe one. He's a glass jaw. And I've seen this man wobble many times. I've seen his brother sparked unconscious in another promotion. I know he is afraid of a smack. And if you're afraid of a smack off me, a smack will feel like a double-barrel shotgun. So I believe the inside the force.
Everyone, you know what time it is. It's time for the Majority Decision. Come to you live from the great state of Texas right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Greg Truth, and co-host of the night is the Black Belt, Mr. Fayaz. So glad to have everybody tuning in with us. Hope you enjoyed our Friday show, and we're here to get right into all of the happenings from UFC 229. Fayaz, a lot of stuff went down last night in Las Vegas. Where do we start?
Man, you know what, man? The card was pretty awesome. And then I'm trying to figure out what happened to Khabib at the end of the fight. What do you think? What do you think was going through his mind when he did that?
All right, hopefully we're back. There are a little bit of technical difficulties. Faz, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good. I think it was on my end. I think my Wi-Fi dropped it off. But anyway, what I was saying was my first initial thought was, what a great win for Khabib, and these actions are probably going to get him disqualified.
Yeah. I don't think he'll get disqualified. The only concern is, I don't even think he'll get stripped. The only concern is the athletic commission there letting him fight there again, you know, because he comes in on a visa and a green card to fight, you know, or a visa, really. So, I mean, that would be the hardest thing for him, you know, have it. But I don't think they're not going to take it away from him. They're not going to strip him or anything like that. But I don't know. I can't figure out what was going through his mind, man. I don't understand why he would do something like that.
Yeah,
it's
pretty ridiculous for that to happen, for them to even go there. I mean, you know, a lot of people were asking the question, and some of the discussion that I saw on the internet was, you know, the trash talk. Even Ben Thomas, you know, former UFC fighter, he made the comment that, you know, all this trash talking and stuff, it doesn't do any good for the sport. It makes it personal when it should be business. I mean, that's not exactly what he said, but he was kind of paraphrase it. Basically what he said was, we can do with all this super personal trash talk. And the trash talk did get super personal. So, I mean, is there a line? And if there is a line, should it be enforced by the UFC?
Well, I mean, come on now. I mean, fighters, prize fighting has been going on for years before the UFC. You think that all the smack talk is new? I don't think any of it's new, right? It's just verbal warfare. It's just selling the fight. Yeah, maybe they do hate each other, but it's just selling the fight. But how do you, after you win, right, how are your feelings still hurt after you made the guy tap in front of millions of people? On top of that, not only did you make him tap, right, you're 27-0, and you've never even lost a round in the UFC, let alone a fight. I mean, what was all the other stuff for? And everybody says, well, you know, Conor does it too. And yeah, so what? He didn't win the fight, though, did he? He did win the fight. I mean, Khabib played the humble. You'll see. I'm going to take the high road, you know, game the whole way through. And then he does that crap at the end. And then his excuse is, well, he said some bad things about me and my family. So I don't understand. You got verbally bullied? I don't get it, man. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand why his feelings are hurt. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really make any sense to me either. I mean, because my approach personally would be, like, I assume would be close to yours, and that's why, you know, I really don't care what anybody else thinks, you know,
right,
about me personally,
yeah,
in general.
Right.
Right? I mean,
right,
you know, to
right,
a degree. But, you know, maybe this is not a guy that's wired like that, you know. You go in pretty hard on his dad, on his country, you know, on his personal belief, you know. I mean, I don't know. I tend to agree with you and say, well, yeah, you know, who cares? It's part of the game, right? That's what you signed up for. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe family can stay out of it, you know. Maybe you should leave family out of your showmanship in terms of trash talking and that kind of stuff.
Sure, but I mean, maybe he's not wired that way. He's 27-0. Surely mental fortitude is there somewhere, right? I mean, and on top of that, I mean, he went in and did what everybody thought he was going to do, and he did it, man. He did it. I mean, he just, it wasn't, he didn't have trouble with it. It didn't go to decision. It wasn't one of those deals. You know, nobody robbed him of anything. It was, he went in there. He said, all right, you're going to run your mouth. I'm going to show you how I fight. And he went in there. He did it. He made him quit. That's plenty, man. I mean, you don't need to do all the other shit and lower yourself to the other guy, I don't think. But that's just my opinion. I don't know, man. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. You know, they're both at fault for it. You know, no, Connor's no angel by any means, not at all. But, you know, why lower yourself to that, right? When you came in and you proved the point, you proved that you were the better man, you know, and you did it in very convincing fashion.
Well, you know, I think Connor is, and I don't mean this to sound the way that it is, I think he's fake, right? Like, I think he gets up there and he runs his mouth, and he knows exactly what he's doing. I think.
Oh, absolutely.
If you sat down for dinner with Conor McGregor, this guy is probably nothing like he is when you got a microphone in front of him at a press conference. So, you know, he's definitely, to me, playing a game. But back to what Khabib did, and just jump and go, okay, one. What did Frosted Tips Danis say to him? Did he say something to him? Have you heard or read anything? I haven't read anything. And that's who he went after. I mean, he basically tried to drop kick him off the top rope. I mean, and you know, did that guy, I mean,
he
what
sure
did that guy
me.
Say to him that caused him to not just yell back, but to jump over the cage and then leap into a crowd of people, you know, like he's Shawn Michaels or something. I don't.
I love it. You know, I think back to when Dillashaw and Garbrandt, the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Garbrandt almost finishes him, and then Dillashaw makes it out of the round, comes back, and then knocks him silly, and then screams in his face, right? I think it was Dillashaw's brother or somebody standing outside the cage said something to Cody, and, you know, but you didn't see Cody in his little, you know, and you want to talk about a dude who's sensitive and takes things personally, right? I mean, that guy, you know, that guy sold his part of the promotion on that. And he didn't jump over the cage and, you know, freak out, you know, and all that. I don't know, man. I think when you're the guy who's 27-0, you know, there doesn't need to be a reminiscence of the Hardy Boys after you win your fight, right? No jumping off the cage and swan diving into somebody. There's no need for that. But I don't know what Dylan Danis said to him, you know? I don't know why Dylan Danis would even be talking shit after his guy lost. I mean, what was the point in that? So, I mean, everybody's kind of, you know, everybody's at fault. Maybe, you know, maybe he went a little bit too far, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because you won. You still got a spotless record, and it doesn't really mean anything, you know?
Well, I know three guys got arrested, and apparently three guys got fired from the UFC if they had contracts from Khabib's crew or mafia or, you know, whatever they do from over there. And then Connor refused to press charges, the reason that he did was because Connor actually, in the scuffle in the cage, Connor actually threw the first punch, which a lot of people immediately did not know. And so that was the reason why he didn't press charges. But, you know, again, it really just both of those guys should know better. And honestly, I mean, in the other loss, I mean, if you remember Diaz, the loss to Diaz, Connor was quite humble and in defeat, and I was assuming that that's what was going to happen this time around, but you know, Khabib tried to eagle his way out of the cage.
Right.
So.
Yeah. He flew out of that cage, didn't he? Man, that was pretty nuts, man. That was pretty nuts.
So thoughts on the fight itself? I mean, we talked about it Friday, and you know, I mean, it pretty much, so it went the way I thought it was going to go. It went exactly how I thought it was going to go. But I was surprised. So I went to Brew Wings to watch it, Saturday, and it was the same Brew Wings that I go to when I do go there to watch, UFC fights. Typically there's openings, there's chairs available, tables available. This time it was a 4-hour wait. There was no open tables. It was completely packed with people who legitimately thought that Conor McGregor was going to win. Some people are just in McGregor la la land, I guess.
Well, you know, I will say this, you know, props to Conor for after 2 years coming back and taking a hard fight, right? I mean, he could have came in taking a couple of tune-ups. And then went. But, you know, as the camp went on, you know, there's a lot of talk of him really not training for wrestlers and things of that nature. And I don't know what he expected that fight to be or what he thought it was going to be. But that should have been his whole fight camp. Was, hey, I'm going to lay on top of you while you're on your back and you just get up. And we're going to do that over and over because we know you know how to punch and kick. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he thought was going to happen, but, you know, from the get-go. And, towards the middle of the fight, he actually started stuffing a couple of those, you know, takedowns and getting back up. So it's like he started to wake up. But, you know, when you're gone for 2 years and you come back against a guy who, you know, has never lost a round, I mean, that's there's something to be said about that. You know, you've got to work for that, man. You got to train for that. And it's like you said, 8 years. Just in the last 2 years, he could have wrestled every day for 8 hours. He probably still wouldn't have been able to stop that takedown.
Yeah, one of the things that I was pretty shocked at was Khabib actually dropped McGregor, caught him with a nice little shot.
He sure did.
That was definitely something that I didn't think I would see. And also in the middle of the fight, around the end of the second quarter, maybe the third quarter, I felt like the third quarter they both kind of took the third round. I felt like they both maybe kind of took that off a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was still. I was, as I'm watching the fight, I'm still getting worried because I'm thinking that Khabib is getting a little too confident on his feet, and he did try to box with him a little bit, and I'm like, man, that's
a
mistake.
He's
going to get
shots.
Caught. Yeah.
He did. He took a few shots, and, you know, but I don't know if you noticed, when he felt like it was getting a little too crazy for him, he just went right back to what he was, you know, what he knows. And I mean, that works for him, man. I mean, it works for him. I will say this, though. If anybody saw Khabib fight Barbosa, it wasn't like that at all. I mean, it was Conor defended a lot of the shots in the beginning. It wasn't until towards the end. I think at the end of the day, cardio is what really beat Conor. He really didn't get ground and pounded too bad. Not that I can see.
Now, there was like one or two moments, I think, where he got nailed some really tough times, like at the end of the first or somewhere in the first and maybe a little bit in the second. But, yeah, beyond that, he just got controlled on the ground. Until he got his back and squeezed his neck off. But,
yeah.
You know, hey, it was a good fight. And credit to Conor McGregor, because I expect that when Conor McGregor gets ready to fight again, he's going to want a rematch.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I don't think he should get one right away, but, you know, I think he should have one or two fights before he gets it again. I mean, you know, whole thing about let's give guys, you know, immediate title fights after they've been gone for 2 years. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, whether you got stripped or you defended or you lost them, it doesn't matter, man. I mean, you shouldn't get it.
Well, I think probably what's going to end up happening is I think that the athletic commission is probably going to suspend Khabib probably 6 months, 9 months. During that time, Conor's probably going to get another win. And just around the time that Khabib's ready to come back from his suspension, Conor will be coming off a win, and that'll set up rematch. That's kind of what I think is going to happen. I think, you know, the UFC is not like what it used to be. You know, I mean, because I totally get it, right? I mean, I understand, you know, you shouldn't get an immediate rematch. You know, they overdo that a lot. But
yeah.
The reality is, again, that they're just trying to make money.
Yeah. I mean, it's
you know,
true.
A lot of times they're throwing those logical ladder rankings out the window in favor of let's cash the biggest paycheck that we can.
I would rather see Ferguson up for the next title fight, man. That guy, at least I know that guy's bringing it all. You know, he's bringing wrestling, he's bringing his elbows, he's bringing all of it, man. And you know, that's who I want. I think him and Pettis stole the show, actually.
By far.
I mean, when
By
you
far,
beat a man
a
so
fight.
Bad that you're covered in the other guy's blood, I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
pretty bad. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Tony Ferguson was not cut last night. That was all Pettis' blood all over Tony Ferguson's face. That's how bad he cut him up.
Yeah, and it was a good fight, too. It was exciting. I felt like Pettis came out a little flat in the beginning, and then he kind of settled into it. And then, of course, once he got cut, he was actually cut. He had a hairline cut on one side and then a cut, like, right above his eye on the other. And the blood was actually flowing. There for a moment, I thought he was going to finish him. I'm trying to think of the sequence. I can't remember at what point of the fight it was, but he had hurt Tony, had him down. Tony was getting up, and I expected Pettis to jump on his back and choke him, but he didn't. And I think Pettis actually mentioned that after, and like, I don't remember where I read it or where I heard it, but you know, that he wished that he would have jumped on his back and went for a choke instead of letting him stand up.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. It might have been different, but Ferguson's no slouch on the ground. I think that might have just given him another chance, more chance to recover. But, yeah, maybe the fight would have went on, you know, versus it being over so quickly. But that alone could have been a main event by itself.
Yeah, that was a great fight. I mean, probably two of the best rounds, arguably, all year, I would think. In terms of guys just going at it, going after each other, constantly, Ferguson constantly moving forward. And, it was a great fight. I hated that it ended with an injury. I would have liked to see that fight just finish itself out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the end, I think Pettis loses that fight. But, I mean, still, though, it was still a crappy way to – he broke his hand. I mean, crappy way to finish the fight. It would have been cool, though, to see that last round and see how it panned out.
Another pretty interesting fight to me was the Derek Lewis fight. Lewis is losing the entire fight, getting hurt.
The entire fight.
Seeming like every punch that he got hit with seemed to hurt him. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, knocks the other dude's mouthpiece out of his mouth. And that's a wrap.
I mean, come on, Volkov, man. Why did he not – I mean, he almost finished Derek Lewis probably, what, two or three times every round.
Mm-hmm.
Had him buckled over, never would throw a knee at him, never would kick him. It was almost like he was worried about the punch that he got caught with in the last 10 seconds of the fight. I don't know. Man, that was you know what I mean? Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I'd never seen anything like it. And then Derek Lewis said it himself, man. He goes, forget about a title shot. I'm going to sit my butt down and I'm going to do some cardio. he's a character. He's lost a lot of weight, man, but his cardio is horrible.
Yeah, and I was impressed with Volkov. I felt like he was extremely accurate in his striking. You know, I thought he used his height and his length well. I was disappointed that Derek, you know, I was thinking Derek Lewis is going to lose. You know, he pulls it out of nowhere. What about Dominique Reyes, man? This is a guy that only his second fight in the UFC against a very tough Ovince St. Preux, and just basically goes out and dominates him.
I picked Dominique Reyes in that fight because, to me, Ovince St. Preux is more athleticism than technique. And Dominique Reyes displays a little more technique. And he was even smaller than St. Preux, and he still went out there and dominated him. It was that was a nice showing by Dominique Reyes.
In that first round, the significant strike count was something – it was like – 61-6 or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Just absolutely ridiculous.
It was crazy. And if you watch that when they run that back in slow motion, man, St. Preux didn't know where he was. He was getting hit so many times. I mean, Dominique Reyes is a quick light heavyweight. I mean, he's quick and he's agile for a light heavyweight. That's you know, those are few and far between. That's hard to come by.
And then to kind of finish off the main card of the fight, Michelle Waterson gets a unanimous decision victory over Felice Herrick. Interesting that the scores, you know, we all know MMA judging. So we've got a 30-26, a 29-28, and a 30-27.
Yeah.
Talk about all over the board.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Did it seem like to you that Felice Herrig wore herself out with the game plan that she tried to inflict there on Michelle Waterson? It almost looked like she wore herself out trying to hold Michelle up against the fence so that she wouldn't have to fight her at range.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I think the pressure against the cage did seem to kind of work against Herrig, and she did kind of maybe slow down a bit there.
Yeah, definitely. But Michelle Waterson's coming along, and you know, hopefully we can see her move up and get a title shot. Man, she's starting to put some wins together.
So, if you had to match up the next fight for the light heavyweight division, I mean, I think, assuming we don't know what's going to happen with Khabib, I think Tony Ferguson against either Conor or Khabib, that's the direction that they've got to go.
Yeah. I think, you know what, I think you're right, man. You got to give it to Ferguson, man. That dude's an absolute warrior, and you know he's going to put on a show. You know it's going to be a fight when Ferguson shows up. You know he's going to make weight. I mean, you just know. Either way it goes, man. I'd love to see him and Khabib. They tried to put that fight together 3 times before Khabib was champ. I mean, it should, it's got to come together sooner or later. But even if you give him Conor, man, he's dangerous for Conor too. I mean, he's just going to keep coming forward. And I don't think Conor's bigger than he is either. So I don't know if you noticed, but Conor has a hard time putting guys away that are about his size.
You know, I was just about to bring that up. This was only Conor's second fight against a light heavyweight. I mean, if you throw out the Diaz fight, because they both those fights were at 170, I think, right?
Yes. Yes.
So if you kind of throw out that fight, this was really the only his second fight against a real true light heavyweight. And
lightweight, yeah.
Can we say maybe the power's not really there, Defy, against some of these bigger guys?
Well, you can't say. I mean, look at the way he pieced up Eddie Alvarez, right? I mean,
Eddie Alvarez is a
smaller lightweight, right? But then when you put him up against a lightweight, you know, Conor, that's always been Conor's thing. He's always been big for the division, right?
Yeah.
But when you put him in front of Khabib, they're about the same size. Khabib might even be a little bit bigger. So maybe your power doesn't translate when the guy's as big as you, right? I mean, if you're not punching the smaller guy anymore, your power may not translate from 45 to 55 because a lot of those guys, you know, they're cutting from 70, 80 to get to 55, right? So it's a maybe it doesn't carry with him.
Yeah, it like I said, I mean, I love the fight with Ferguson. I love the idea of that fight. Really, anybody in that top five, I think, is would be good for Conor. But, you know, hey, 2 shows in the books. I don't know. Who knows where we go from here, but I hope everybody that's listening has enjoyed the 2 special editions of the Majority Decision.
That's right.
And so certainly, if you like it, share it, tell somebody about it. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter at Majority MMA. And everybody out there who enjoys the fights, hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, because we enjoy them too. Absolutely.
We're out.